This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Resource Centre, and Malaysia has at best a loose apprenticeship program. But under collaboration between the Malaysian German business communities, things are being put into place to birth a formalised apprenticeship with examinations and certifications. I'm here with Alexander Stettfeld, the Executive Director of the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce and Industry, talking about their dual vocational training program. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the program, how it came about.
Well, thank you, Frida. It's good to be here. The program at which we have in mind is basically on a success story that we have in Germany. Imagine 60% of young Germans, after finishing their school examination, similar to SPM or SDPM, are going into a training contract with a company. And this is the core of it. The training of most of the young people in Germany takes place by companies and not by the public sector, not by government or public private universities, but actually companies training young people to their demands, requirements. And all of this is complemented by theoretical training relating to the occupations in which they are trained, which is provided by training schools. And we have the same concept in mind here. In Malaysia, and we have a strong partner with the Malaysian government, also the Ministry of Human Resources. They are the Department of Skills Development, and we found that companies, not only Germans but Malaysians and other companies, there's a demand for this kind of training, which addresses more the needs of the private sector.
Right. You're saying 60% in Germany go through this, of these school leavers actually go through this program.
That's right, 60%. And the interesting thing is, out of these 60%, 20% have the qualifications to go to university,
but
still opt to go to a dual vocational training program, to sign a contract with a company. The main reasons are they like the practical aspect of it. They like to go out of the classroom. But still, they have this classroom training as part of the total training, maybe 70% at the company, 30% at the training school. And they will receive a training allowance from the very first month through
right.
the three-year training program. And this will be the same here in Malaysia.
You get paid as you learn.
That's right.
Yeah.
We call it an allowance. It's not a salary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of work also. You start out with most of the time spending on training by coaches, by mentors in the company. But in the second year, and especially in the third year of training, the output by young people, and this is also what companies appreciate, increases. So it's also beneficial in a financial way for the companies in these terms.
Okay, so the ideal people that apply for this would be SPM and SDPM leavers.
Well, I would be a HR manager. This would be my main target group. From the academic skills, it should be people, since we are talking about commercial-based programs, business administration would be people who have a proper command of English, feel comfortable with numbers, don't have to be higher mathematicians, but should be comfortable with numbers, and then have general personality traits that the company will look for in terms of learning abilities, following instructions, being proactive in the training. So general good traits of people.
Right. In terms of qualifying for it, do they have some basic requirements in terms of the results?
Well, legal requirements, there are none. Even people without a school certificate can apply for the job. Whether they get an offer by a company, it's a different thing.
Right.
But theoretically, it's possible. There's also no age limit. So there are no legal requirements set by the ministry or by us at the chamber. But eventually, it will be most of the people joining this program will be between 17 and 19 years old, SPM, SDPM, and rather good grades in English, mathematics, Malay language, mm-hmm. Things like that.
And all right, to do this again, they have to sit for an examination after this to get a certification.
Well, of course, the requirement, since it ends with a qualified certificate in Malaysia, which is the Advanced Skills Diploma, DLKM, which is, by the way, also entry qualification for university later on if they choose to do so, and the German Chamber Certificate, there will be this continuous assessment component, especially in the training school, but there will be also an intermediate and a final examination more on the company level, but again based on what they learned in school also. And this is something where we will set the standards. It will be basically German standards, and we are in agreement here with the ministry that we follow basically the same quality elements as we have in Germany.
Right. So does the company end up hiring these apprentices? Is that part of the deal?
Well, this is part of the idea, and this is how it happens in Germany. Companies only take in trainees because they want to meet their future HR requirements, and this on a continuous basis. So you will find companies taking in a new batch every year. In terms of statistics, per 100 employees in a company, you find 6 to 7 trainees, which means an intake, if you have a company of 200 people, of about 4 people per year. And the benefit for the companies is there. They can train people to their requirements. Mm-hmm. And when the people finish their training, they have a lot of practical experience, which here in this country you usually don't find with the fresh graduates.
Yeah, we have a serious shortage of that gap there. Who does the training in this case?
Well, the training is done by practitioners in the companies. The companies don't have specialized trainers who only do the training, but the companies do the training with their staff, their current staff. So there will be, formally, there will be someone responsible for the training to oversight that the structures is set, that the requirements are met by the companies, certain processes are installed. And then the trainees will be led to the various departments, and then someone in the departments, and in Germany it's something that people like to do, regular staff like to do, will then be assigned as their mentor and coach to take them to the elements of the training.
All right. So this is tied up with the German-Malaysian Institute, GMI, which was started in 1991. They actually go through the training?
Well, the German-Malaysian Institute is the training school. So it does about 25% to 30% of the total training, but it does the theoretical part. So it will equip the young people with some theoretical knowledge, which is relates to their commercial occupations, but it's not something where they repeat what they do at the company. This is completely separated. Mm-hmm. So there, of course, you have trained teachers, but at the company, it will be practitioners in the HR department or finance or marketing, sales, warehousing, any kind of logistics issues, depending on the occupation and the current stage of the program.
All right, and we'll talk a little bit about what the apprentices go through in just a moment here with Alexander Stettfeld from the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce and Industry, discussing German apprenticeships for Malaysians. It's Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Blueprint for Managers. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Centre, and we are discussing a blueprint for managers. We're talking about the German apprenticeship for Malaysians. Alexander Stettfeld, Executive Director for the Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce and Industry, here with me. And we're talking about this dual vocational training program that they've just introduced. So this program is going to be once a year?
Well, we are planning to start in September 2013. So this year we already have a commitment by roughly 20 companies for all in all 30 training places, about 2/3 in the area of industrial management and the other third in the area of transport and logistics management.
Okay.
And after that, of course, we would offer the companies, we expect the companies to offer again training places in 2014, 2015. So to make this a continuous program, to raise the numbers of intake in these occupations, and to also introduce new training occupations, eventually also in technical areas like mechatronics.
Okay. So for now, it is just these two industries, these two sort of places.
Well, we need to get a start. We need to set up the structures, to get the partners together. So it is something quite a challenging process with the partners, with structures, with something new, which has not been done so in Malaysia. Malaysia has introduced the National Dual Training System in 2005, but it's not comparable what has made Germany as, let's say, a role model. And when you talk to entrepreneurs and government people around the world, they will always point out the strengths of the German dual vocational training system. Mm. I'd say without that, you would probably not be able to build cars like the ones that look after German cars. I don't mention any brands now.
Because there's so many.
Or medical equipment. This is mainly and to a large extent based also on the dual vocation training, because young people are able to contribute to technology developments, to new processes. That is the main strength.
You know, so, okay, this program is it starts in September. When is the closing date?
Well, the intake can take up to the last day of August, basically. We're starting to promote this. We do receive, when we talk to young people, positive response. They understand the benefits. First, young people get a training allowance. Instead of paying a private university 180,000 for a bachelor degree, they immediately get paid, and they are sure if they perform well, if they have a good personality, they have a job secured, right. And they have a career before them. For instance, the current CFO of Infineon in Melaka has based his career on a dual vocational training in industrial management. He doesn't hold a university degree. It's not necessary because with this foundation, a good personality, further training, there's no limit to where to go in the company. And there are many other examples in Germany too.
Okay, and very interesting here you're saying, I was just looking at the training allowances. In the first year, they do get an allowance of 700 to 900 a month. Second year, 850 to 1,100 a month. The range changes. And third year, 1,000 to 1,003. So basically, they're getting paid to learn.
Well, if you want to put it like that, this is a lower range, the 750 and 1,000. Companies can go beyond this, but it's important to set standards. And it's important to not set the allowance too low, because it's something that is in the interest of the company. Basically, to cover their own demand in HR, in the HR sector, as I said before. So it's investment in the future. And when you compare it to normal salaries, it is quite an economic investment too. Mm. Because another thing is, after 3 years, you exactly know what your people can do and what they cannot do. You know whether you want to keep them, where to place them. You avoid wrong hiring decisions, and wrong hiring decisions nowadays usually means a lot of money for advertisement, breaking people into the company, making them acquainted with the processes, with the line of business. And this is all what you avoid by doing it yourself as a company from the very beginning, after young people leave the school.
Right. Are they bonded to these companies?
Well, it's not a requirement by the Malaysian German Chamber or by the program, but companies can do this. And from our talks with many, many companies, we have received the feeling that companies feel more secure with a bonding element. So we expect that most training contracts will include such a bonding element. Mm-hmm. Because it is important to make young people aware that companies invest in them, yeah. In themselves, and they want to get something back. Mm-hmm. And of course, if they perform well, they should also have a chance to have a job in the company, a regular job, and a perspective of a good career in the company where they are trained.
I'm just looking at the curriculum for the transport and logistics management, and just some of the things in the first year. They learn about position, the legal status and structure of a training company, environmental protection. But the second, that's just one of some of the things. The second year, they go through warehouse logistics, HR, teamwork and communication, quality management. Very interesting, you know, that they're learning all these things that are not just technically, not just technical knowledge, but the human side of things as well.
That's right. An important element, of course, to develop personal skills like communication, like conflict resolution, how to deal with customers is very important. The comprehensiveness of the program is one of the main elements of strength. In Germany, we have 350 training occupations. I mean, in terms of population, Malaysia is a slightly smaller country, maybe a third of the population. And here you have 1,850 National Occupational Skills Standard. So a very modular split up system, which from there you can already see that what is conveyed in these kind of NOSes, it is not very comprehensive. Mm. The training in Germany covers all areas of business process. You mentioned some, HR, finance, marketing, logistics, warehousing, use of IT. So it's comprehensive and it's in a high level. And this is basically what our program is about.
Mm, okay, and we're just going through year as well. The third year, they go through international transport, looking at contracts and all the other things. So now, so it's quite intense. So when can where can people get more information if they want to apply?
Well, the easiest thing at this stage is to write to us. Our email address would be info@malaysia.ahk.de. If you cannot remember this, don't worry. Just look for Malaysian German Commerce, Chamber of Commerce and Industry on the web, and then you have immediately our contact. And just write us an email, and we'll be happy to get back to you. Whether your company, a parent, the young people, we'll provide you with in-depth information. We can invite you to our office as a company. We can invite to become to your office to present this to a larger group of your staff, not only the HR people or the CEO. So information is easy to come by.
Right. It's just do a search. The Malaysian German Chamber, you'll find something. The other thing as well, do you think with Malaysian, Asian parents, you know, are they concerned about the fact that, you know, it's a paper chase here? Do they have a degree? You know, do you think these things will come up?
Well, we need to change the minds of people. But what we've seen, it is not very difficult if you have a chance to explain what this is all about. So one of the companies who is committed to training places is a Malaysian company. So they have not been in any way aware of such a program, but they were very quickly to understand what it means. I would say vocational training in this country is not valued very high, not because of the word vocational, because people know what it's behind. And with this modular system, some vocational certificates you can acquire after 6 months, other after 12 months, it's quite obvious that it's not very comprehensive and it's not really the basis of a good career in the company. If you look closer at what we have in mind and talk to the companies, what they have in mind when someone comes successfully out of this training program, it's a real career they have in front of them. And it might be a slow start and difficult to convey this, but I'm convinced that we can show this. And when the company offers them a good salary and a good career perspective, it's obvious that it's a good way to start your formation and right. your further career.
And you should listen in to on Thursday, because that's one of the discussions on Talkback Thursday. A question that we'll be posing is, as more employers seek applicants with better qualifications and experience, why aren't Malaysians receptive to the idea of vocational education? You should call in and give your two cents worth. Tomorrow's resource center is Her Vantage, and we have Dr. Rebecca Santa Maria, Secretary General of the MITI, the Malaysian International Trade and Industry, joining us. And thanks again, Alexander Stettfeld, Executive Director, Malaysian German Chamber of Commerce and Industry, its Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.